This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
The final power hour for the short term. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. I'm Mark Packer. That dude right over there would be West Durham. Cast of thousands down here in the Queen City, not to mention up in Bristol. Done a great job. Appreciate all their effort. We have two distinguished guests in the last show of the week.
Champions in their own right.
No doubt. Lars Tiffany, who's become a bud of the show, not to mention defending national champion in men's lacrosse. Of course, they're not going to defend anything based on the announcement yesterday. He will join us coming up in about a half an hour. But right now, we're joined by a guy that did an absolutely brilliant job yesterday, along with a number of others at the ESPN covering, which was one of the most unbelievable days that I can ever remember. And that would be the one and only Reese Davis. Reese, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're good. And, you know, you've seen a lot of crazy stuff in the world of sports. Where would you rank the last 24 to 48 hours?
I don't know how I would rank it, but it's unlike anything that I've seen in my career. You know, there have been instances over the course of my now 1 week shy of 25 years at ESPN that things have happened that have left you with eerie feelings. You know, you think back, Stuart Scott and I were on SportsCenter the night of the Olympic bombing. And while certainly, you know, the actual details of each situation are vastly different, the intersection of real life and sports and how it's impacted, you can draw parallels to it for sure. But, you know, in terms of the domino effect, the sort of bizarre sequencing of events, of tournaments being canceled, the kind of odd scene with the ACC with the warm-ups and then ultimately the presentation of the regular season trophy. You know, while at the same time, Sean Farnham and LaFonso and I were sitting in the studio sort of incredulously watching Creighton and St. John's play the first half of Big East tournament game. We're like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. And, you know, now I wasn't casting aspersions from a, moralistic standpoint or standing up on the desk going, how can this be that they're playing? It was just bizarre. You know, that some were stopping and some weren't. And while the public health pandemic is certainly of the utmost importance and on the forefront of our minds, it really underscored the need for, you know, better leadership, better communication, a more concerted effort in college basketball so that everybody's kind of on the same page about things like this. And it was kind of a weird day for sure.
You know, Reese, Mark and I were sitting after our show finished yesterday morning. We were kind of in a little group. Josh Macri, one of our producers, Dan Shulman, Jay Billis. We were kind of all there together fielding philosophies, right, more than anything else.
That's one way to describe
but
it.
But looking also at social media to see what the announcements and things like that were going to be as the day began. And trying to get a feel for, as Jay said, why are they playing, and if they are, what's their justification, that kind of deal. You and Sean and Fonz were sitting there at the control desk of basically all of this. Was there a central moment in your mind that, you know, that started this process?
I don't know, other than the one I mentioned about I think the most surreal moment was when they went to halftime in the Big East, and then it was apparent they weren't coming back.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, you're kind of like, it was almost like they decided to mitigate the damage. You know, I thought, you know, all due respect, I thought the ACC ended up getting to the right place, but that was weird. Mm-hmm. You know, that it looked like they were going to play for a while, and then the reports that, you know, there were teams maybe later in the day in the tournament that didn't intend to play. And it was, you know, by direction of their president or whatever. And, you know, it was, I think all of those things just sort of unfolded. And then as you talk to players and coaches, you know, and I was asking them, communicating with them to come on the show as they could, you know, their perspective on it was certainly one they were trying to find a balance between being sensitive to what's going on in our country right now and really around the world, while at the same time, you know, advocating for a little patience and waiting and hoping that a postponement would have been the decision rather than a cancellation, and, you know, trying to do what was right for their players. And, you know, let's be honest, their coaches and competitors, and this is what they strive to do, and they wanted to be a part of it too. So it was, you know, I think in a lot of ways everybody was sort of feeling their, you know, feeling their way toward how they wanted to present themselves publicly. I had a couple of, you know, coaches, when I would ask them, they would say, look, I'm talking to a lot of other guys. Let me, you know, give me a little time here, you know, while we discuss this, because they wanted to present a unified front. And I think they also didn't want to wind up on, you know, a disadvantageous side of the conversation either.
Reese, I'm curious, as you now look back to the week, if there was a point in time where you got a sense that, hey, you know what, this college thing now, we're going to shut this thing down. And before you answer that, I'll preface that by saying, I think when the NBA had their issue on Wednesday night, it seemed to dawn on, I think, and again, I'm curious to hear your answers, but that was the one for me, the Wednesday night when the NBA decided, hey, we got an issue here, and so we're just going to do the step back for 30-day routine. That, to me, is when a flag went up when it came to college sports.
Oh, there's no question, Mark. I can't imagine any other one. Now, maybe someone else has a different moment, but that's the moment. That was when you realize, wow, they're going to shut down. That's how serious. I mean, not that you didn't know it was serious before, but I think you felt like up to that point that there would be some way, even if it was, you know, even if everything was rolled back, you know, a couple of days if possible or something like that, or, you know, maybe they do something with the first four to, you know, because they're not quite ready to go. You know, there are all kinds of different things like that that you thought might be a possibility, but you didn't think of postponement or cancellation or long postponement of being possible until then. And from what I understand, I think that changed a lot of coaches and players thinking on it, although a couple of the coaches I talked to last night said, hey, you know, I heard what you said on TV about, you know, some teams having players that didn't care to play. He said, let me tell you, that was not the case for my team. You know, so, you know, but I do think that players, even if they were still willing and wanted to play, realized that an NBA player who travels by charter, who is in the finest hotels and rarefied circles, they're certainly not in class. And I know basketball players probably aren't in class with a lot of people this time of year or as often, but, you know, they're still on campus. They're still going to social events. They're still going to community dining halls and, you know, and various things, living in some cases in dorms. NBA players aren't like that. And, you know, looking and seeing if, you know, Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell can contract this, and, you know, then anybody can. And a moment that came later during the afternoon, Mark, after everything had been decided, that really underscored the situation for me and showed you how quickly things were changing and how quickly the perceptions were changing. You know, the NCAA had announced that it would be attempting to play the tournament in front of just quote-unquote essential personnel. Well, yesterday afternoon, we discovered that one of those essential personnel members was an official, game official, at a Colonial tournament game and didn't have any symptoms at the time, but found out, you know, 72 hours later that he had the coronavirus.
Yep.
You know, so, you know, even I think that also underscored, like, while that was of the best intentions, trying to limit the big crowds, and I know that's what the CDC and others have advocated, and rightfully so, by the way, because I'm certainly no expert on that, but it also showed that it was no guarantee that you still weren't bringing people together who potentially could have come in contact with this virus.
Reese, I'm going to go big picture here for a moment. I started the program today with Mark talking about the difference in words. The NCAA using canceled, conferences using suspend. I think very rarely does the general American sporting public get to see the dynamics between the NCAA conferences and member institutions play out the way they did yesterday. I think those of us that are closer to it know of it and sense it, but rarely do we get to see it play out. What's your takeaway from the operation yesterday that we saw?
That it's clumsy in basketball, and the difference is and you guys have probably heard this, a lot of the basketball coaches sort of privately complain to me about the way basketball is run as opposed to the way football is run. Mm-hmm. And we understand the difference. Football is run by the Power Five conferences and the commissioners. And, you know, and basketball tries to serve the NCAA running, ostensibly running basketball and trying to serve a much larger group equally. I don't think that's possible. There is very little similarity between Duke and Duquesne, you know, in basketball, and yet their attempt is to be treated equally. As it pertains to yesterday, I sort of mentioned this earlier, the way the cancellations came in the tournament, and then, as you point out, the difference in language, and I thought a lot of the suspended language sort of pertained to athletic travel and practices and so forth, meaning that they could pick those up for other teams had everything, you know, in the spring sports not being canceled also. But I thought it, you know, rather than having some type of directive or collective guidance from a centralized location or from, you know, from the NCAA, it was apparent that that did not exist. And there was a conference call yesterday among the commissioners. I know the Power Five, my understanding, I should say, that the Power Five guys were on. I'm not sure how many of the other ones were on there, mm-hmm. but they were trying to get their arms around it. And I may not be 100% right on this, or I probably shouldn't say it, but I'm going to anyway. I don't think, and I could be mistaken about this, but I don't think that there was a person from the NCAA on there. And there might have been others, and maybe there was a representative relaying messages in there. But it, you know, rather than someone like in an NBA situation when Adam Silver calls everybody together, or Roger Goodell, or Rob Manfred, or whatever, and whatever you think of those guys, you know, it's your business. But there is centralized leadership, and even if you don't like all the decisions, they at least come to a collective decision, and everybody sort of goes forward in a similar direction. And it felt like yesterday, unfortunately, that, everybody was going in a lot of different directions and finally, eventually, weaved their way into getting on the same path.
Reese, now that the college basketball season is officially done, if I said to you, what is the one moment of this season? It doesn't have to be ACC related, just big picture. What is it? I mean, you don't say this last 48 hours. I'm just talking about a player, a game, a team, and just a moment. What would you answer?
It would be hard to pick just one moment. I would rather go, Mark, with a theme, and I think it's the theme of the non-blue bloods. You know, the Dayton, Creighton, San Diego State, and even I know they're in a Power Five, but even Baylor. You know, the storylines that were kind of dominant in leading up to the tournament, have we played the tournament as normal? To me, a big story on Selection Sunday and through the first couple of weeks of the tournament, these teams are ranked highly and at the top. Are they going to live up to it? Is that real? Are we going to have a Final Four of Dayton, Creighton, San Diego State, and Gonzaga, or Baylor, or Seton Hall being the fourth one? But are those other three, are they going, you know, are they the power teams? Are they the best teams this year? Those things, I think, with that and the fact that you could and may still have a guy from Dayton win the Wooden Award, that theme to me turned out to be the dominant one of the season. That would be the moment. As I think back on the season purely from a basketball standpoint, that is what I will think of when I think of this season more than anything else.
And that's what makes missing March Madness tough for all of us that are junkies and love to watch it, because that will never be answered. And that's a shame. Mm-hmm. That's a shame for all parties involved, most specifically the student-athlete that's not going to have a chance to prove it. But even as fans, I mean, it's the beauty of March Madness that you can get those kind of moments.
It is, and I hope I'm not taking you guys off track, but Ryan, obviously you wouldn't know how the thing would have been bracketed.
Right.
But if it, if you could have picked, if right now you could pick four teams that you would have picked as final four teams and just had the good fortune that your four teams wound up in different regions, who would you have picked?
I would have gone with Duke, Louisville, Florida State, and Virginia.
All right, Homer, way to go.
Reese, I respect the question, and unlike my partner, I will go somewhat off the grid. How's that?
Okay.
I would have taken – I thought Gonzaga looked as good as anybody did game in, game out nationally this year. I thought this was Mark Few's run, to be honest. I thought their game at BYU was one of the most entertaining games I'd seen all year. The handful of times – and you were there last weekend – the handful of times that I've seen what Anthony Grant has done this year at Dayton, I was really, really impressed with what they were going to be. And I thought they had a chance. I did believe there would be an ACC team there, and my gut tells me that Florida State and Leonard was going to be rewarded with a Final Four for his coaching journey. And then I'll go with you. I know what you guys saw when you went to Waco. I thought Baylor was probably the other team.
No.
Could have been Kansas.
Kansas.
Yeah. Pac wants to go Kansas. I was going to go Baylor. I thought the Gilbert story was sensational, but, it was going to be interesting to see because we were going to get, I think an extremely, you remember where we've had the Loyolas and the VCUs and the Wichita States. Well, if you get Gonzaga and Dayton in there, first of all, I think that'd be great for Don Donaher and all the great people that have been Dayton fans for years, but I think having two teams beyond the Power Five would have been fascinating for this year's event, especially in Atlanta, where building, and obviously living there since 1995, I feel for Dan Corso, I feel for the people there on the host committee and all the businesses that were going to bring that unbelievable event to Mercedes-Benz Stadium because it was going to be spectacular in that building in April.
Well, hey, here's the deal. Yeah. Here's where I'm going to go, Reese. Kansas, Zags,
yeah.
Florida State, and Michigan State knocks out Creighton in dramatic fashion just to make Reese upset to get the last spot.
If with assuming a healthy Zegarowski, right. Which was a big assumption, given he had just had surgery on the meniscus, I would have gone Creighton, Dayton, Gonzaga, and then I would have had to choose between an Elite Eight game between Florida State and Kentucky. And I think I would have gone Florida State also, but I could easily go Kentucky in that fourth spot. I think we've had a Final Four that looked like that. A healthy Creighton, shot making team.
Yeah.
Dayton, good offensive team. One thing I've noticed, and we'll talk a little basketball, and then I'll let you guys have your show back. I really apologize for this, but I guess I'm hungry to talk some basketball. All the teams on the bubble. Were highly efficient defensive teams. Teams on the bubble had trouble scoring, which says to me, you want to find your good teams. Find teams can score. Now, look, Seth Greenberg thinks that I don't want people to get in stances and just let them score like the old Marymount team, who I appreciate the story but didn't like the way they play. I don't like letting somebody just run for a layup so you get the ball back. But, so he exaggerates my position on this, but I do think that I want to see teams can score. So Dayton and Creighton certainly could. Gonzaga certainly can. I think they all guarded well enough. Not any Florida State or Kentucky would have had a great shot of going as well.
Yeah. Yeah, all I know is this. Next year, we got to have a half-court make on game day.
I know, man. How about that?
That was disappointing.
3 for 8 last year. 0 for 8 this year. So that's tough.
You need to get back to Charlottesville, man. Every time you guys roll into Charlottesville, it's a swish.
It's amazing. They're 4 for 4. It's crazy. I mean, so it sort of belies the whole thing. They don't put a value on scoring all the time in Charlottesville. But boy, when that half court shot comes for the money, if they get into a scoring drought, maybe Tony should just say, "Hey, pretend it's the State Farm half court shot for $19,000 and knock in a few."
Love it.
Hey, thanks as always. You've been a great friend to our show. We appreciate you carving out some time after what was an unbelievable day and a lot of work for you. Appreciate it.
Oh, you bet, guys. Have a good day.
All right. Reese Davis, host of ESPN's College Game Day. And I'm sure there'll be more to come from him in the following days on just kind of how the business of college sports in particular is going to work from a national perspective. And we'll certainly keep you updated here on the ACC side as well.
Well, he's the nicest guy in the world, but I was a little disappointed he called us a homer with the Virginia, Florida State, Duke, Louisville Final Four picks. Don't know why he'd do that.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Lars Tiffany coming up in about 10 minutes or so. He's one of our favorites. Unfortunately, it's right there behind you.
I know. I was checking on the helmet.
Nobody's going to be able to defend the national championships in Charlottesville. Not
That's
Lars.
Right. Yeah.
Not Tony.
Tony
Bennett.
Yep.
It's crazy.
It is. Man, and spring sports were getting ready to go off and
I was
flying.
That's why I was so ready for baseball, too.
We had Duke Carolina baseball this weekend to kind of set the table. We had Clemson at Wake Forest. Sneaky good series.
Stinks.
It does. One of the things, you know, we do these pre-planning deals. You know, we talk about being at the ACC tournament, and one of the things we talked about, and we want you to see this because it's so good, is that what happened 25 years ago in the Greensboro Coliseum.
Special.
It is. It's magical. A magical moment, not only in that building, it's a magical moment in the 67-year history of the event. And it surrounds a guy named Randolph Childress.
And now we're ready for Duke and Wake Forest. Set to go in the quarters. The winner to face Virginia. Wojciechowski wide open for three, and he hit it. Shot clock violation. And Wake Forest stone cold at the beginning.
We came out in that game, the first round against Duke, and found ourselves in a significant deficit.
31-13, Dave Odom has seen enough.
As we got right to the end of the timeout, I heard this voice in the back row saying, "Okay, coach, that's enough. That's enough. Just give them to me and let me have them." Randolph.
He goes, "I am not going to let this happen." And after the timeout, it's the most amazing 8 minutes and 33 seconds of basketball I have ever seen.
Childress from downtown. Childress with a hanger. Holding
on. Oh, my. Childress picks up his team and says, "Get on my back, fellas."
You flip an 18-point deficit into a 2-point lead in 8 minutes. It's incredible.
Wake Forest advances to the semifinals to play the Virginia Cavaliers on the strength of a brilliant performance by Randolph Childress.
Halfway through the first half, there was a pass, and he tried to catch it and popped his finger back.
And Randolph Childress hurt his hand. It dislocated right pinky for Childress.
I looked down and I couldn't get it straightened out, and I'm thinking, man, this is going to be bad.
He'll be a little reluctant to bend the wrist, or maybe not.
No injury, no nothing that was going to stop him from finishing the games.
And the Demon Deacons, for the first time in 17 years, will go to the ACC Championship game.
I'm starting our offense up here, not back here. I'm getting to my spots. And he kept pressing me, and it's one of those things you've practiced a million times in a gym.
Nice little cross. Oh, my. What a cross over there.
Oh, no,
did
you see that?
Get me.
When I did get up and I'm waiting for a second and Stack starts to run, I hear Coach Smith yell, "He can't do that. It's taunting."
Fall down, son. I'll give you a chance to get up. Oh, are you kidding?
See, if you're on the playground, that's what you call breaking a guy's ankle.
Oh.
The fact that he had the audacity to cross him over, call him up, and hit the shot.
Little salt in the wound there.
It's after he did that, it's like, there's nothing he can't do. Going into overtime, I said, "We just get the ball to Randolph, we're still going to win."
They ran to double me. So when I saw him coming over, I just attacked it. I went away from him, attacked the guy that was guarding me, and just pulled up. I had no intention of passing the ball to anybody.
Randolph Childress just broke the tournament record and put North Carolina down by two.
They threw it to Stackhouse. I do not want this to be a foul, and I'll fall to the floor. He shoots it, and I just look back.
Stackhouse. In three games, 107.
We needed all 107 of those points. And guys were turning down shots to give me better shots. That's what made that group special. That record isn't just mine. It's my teammates are every bit a part of that record.
The most remarkable 3 days I had ever seen. It was just a moment frozen in time, and it was going to be Childress's moment.
Randolph Childress broke a record that has stood since 1957. The great Lenny Rosenbluth of North Carolina had set the mark at the ACC tournament. It is, in my mind, outside of this NC State-Maryland game, it is the singular most impactful performance at the ACC tournament.
It was crazy good, man.
Yep.
Remember, that's taunting.
And you can see him in the Countess Mara tie.
Sure.
Doing that.
That's taunting. Yeah. It was so good. You were like, surely to God, he's not going to make another one.
Oh, yeah.
And he did.
Yeah.
And he did. And he did. And he did. Unbelievable.
And, what a unique treat to, see Randolph and Brandon, the other day before they played Pittsburgh in the opening round of the ACC tournament, to know that there was a finality to it. And those two, Both were very sentimental about it. Randolph still recovering from some torn labrum surgery, and Brandon and Katie George with a very nice visit. First time they'd really talked since the post-game interview against Duke, and fun to be part of that and share some great memories with Randolph and Brandon.
I miss the coveted invite. I didn't see the coveted invite.
Well, got to work a little bit, Pac.
Well, yeah. That's what I need to do.
Got to hang around the arena every once in a while.
Well, I mean, yeah,
you got a lot going on, man. You're a man of media.
I got another thing I got to do, which got me away from the arena, but I can't believe I missed the coveted invite.
Coveted invite was there.
Well, I mean,
I think we'll get to see the coveted invite.
Hey, by the way,
soon at some point.
Well, you know what? We kicked around the idea about the Derby show, right? There's no way that's happening, right?
The Derby show or the Derby?
The Derby.
That's to be determined, but I would gather that would be a large gathering.
Oh,
yes.
My goodness.
Yeah, that might fall under the category of large gathering.
What do you think they're going to do with the Masters? Huh? Seriously.
I don't know.
That's going to be, to me, that's going to be the most interesting one that's out there, how they're going to handle that.
I don't disagree.
Don't you agree with that?
Yeah.
Those folks down there at Augusta now probably build a bubble over the place.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
This is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Favorite guests of all time. He just happens to be the head coach of the defending men's lacrosse team at the University of Virginia, and they're not going to have the ability to defend.
Yeah. Lars Tiffany joins us from Charlottesville. First of all, we appreciate you doing this. I know yesterday was a hard day on a lot of levels for everybody in sports, but Mark and I have talked about what we feel for the kids and the student-athletes that are involved in sports. But I also lean to the coaches because – yesterday's events, while necessary certainly to protect the health of our country and the health of our society, Lars, it also opens up a bit of a Pandora's box about what is to come and how do we handle some of this, because the days ahead from a business standpoint of sports will be really interesting, I think.
There's a lot of questions to be answered, but we all do understand that priorities are to take care of community, take care of our campuses, take care of the Commonwealth of Virginia, and certainly take care of the country. And so we understand why these decisions were made. But to dive into what you're talking about, so the emotional aspect. We met with our team yesterday at 1 o'clock. There had not been a decision yet. So I said, fellas, let's get out there and start practicing right now, before anything changes, before we hear any updates. And we were able out there. We had a great, intense inter-squad scrimmage. We had a lot of fun with it. Checked our phones at 3 o'clock. We were still okay. So we ran into the weight room, got a great lift. And I think you could tell we all knew what was coming. We all knew it was about to happen. So we were embracing every minute we could together. You know, if our jobs as coaches is to create this united culture, this collective that's all in, then we need as much time as we can to do that. That makes it really special. And so we were squeezing every second we could while we were in the weight room. We found out that, yes, the season would be suspended. Well, for me personally, the emotional part came about a half hour later when we were meeting with the team after the lift and said, okay, fellas, let's think of every question that we can come up with before we separate. And then we're like, oh, I wish we talked about that as a group. Mm. And while we were having those questions and, hey, what do we know and what don't we know? My assistant, Sean Kerwin, read the email from the NCAA saying all winter and spring championships have been canceled. And I was floored. Mm. And I stood in front of my men for about 10 seconds not knowing what to say, and as I'm sure most coaches would at that point. And so I said, fellas, I don't really have a lot of answers for us right now. That was the emotion. That was the selfishly to think about us for a second. That was the hardest part of the day. Like, wow, this is over. Yeah. And this 2020 version of Virginia lacrosse is done. And hopefully we can talk about some other issues about coming back together and getting this year back and how those issues we resolved by the NCAA and the ACC and conferences across the country. But just knowing that the 2020 version was done and it'll never be the same is really difficult to swallow.
Coach, is to describe your team, because I can hear the emotion in your voice, to describe your team when that went down, was it one of sadness, bitterness, mad? I mean, how would you describe the guys?
Yeah, you got one of the stages, the sort of chronological stages when you go through something traumatic, right? That we probably had all that. But those first 5 to 10 seconds was stunned, sort of awe of, whoa. It wasn't anger. Nobody was throwing things. I think it was just sort of, wait a minute. Wow. We anticipated, you know, maybe missing a couple games. We anticipated a suspension and maybe we'd get lucky and play again. But to go from, hey, are we playing Maryland a couple hours earlier, to be in the conversation to, that's it, go home. Like, you're not supposed to be a part of this anymore. Get out of here and get out of town. And that was that we weren't ready for that. So that was the emotional shock.
Lars Tiffany from Virginia's defending national champion lacrosse program with us here on Packer and Durham. I see coaches and student athletes in the same circle, and I see them in different circles. And in situations like this, you're in the same circle and then you're in the different circle. And we were just talking about this. I mean, this is unprecedented. We all have been through, you know, landmark events like this as it relates to sports and postponement, but this is unprecedented in the stopping of something for an extended period of time. As you said, it's going to take time to process, but what do you think you want to process first in that list?
Yeah, it's, I want to make sure the men are in a good place. I want to make sure that they feel that when they're returning home, that they're doing what's best for themselves and their family members. And so we want to, and UVA feels the same way. They're providing assistance. Our sports psychology department is still available. Our sports medicine department is still available to our athletes. So we want to make sure that we're taking care of them, and not making them feel like, hey, get out the door. Don't let the door slam you on the backside on your way out. And because there may feel like there may be some of that impression, you know, as we're coming back for online classes, it still won't start for another week here. There's a little bit of this lost boy zombie land sort of emotion that a lot of us and the men are feeling. And so I just want to make sure that we take care of them first and foremost. For us coaches, you know, when the announcement was made and learning that we can't even recruit, of course, they may not be much high school lacrosse to go watch and recruit anyways. That's a bit of a shock. I don't know if you guys need someone around the office to blow a whistle and yell at some people, but I'm available. I'll be happy to come down there, you know, and, it's 2.5 months here of, I think Home Depot and Lowe's is going to be very busy, you know, cause it's a springtime. We've got some gardening to do and, yeah. And get some things done around the house.
We had Dan Radakovich on earlier today, the director of athletics at Clemson, and he talked about he was planning on meeting with all his coaches this morning. You've got a great leader, Carla Williams. What's been her message to not only you but everybody else there in the athletic department?
She's been fantastic. She brought us together several times. We met 2 days ago as a department, as a staff, and head coaches, and you know, just conveying what she knew and supporting us and what can we do for your student athletes. And so it's been wonderful. She's good at asking questions. She wants our opinions. How can I help you? And So she's been fantastic. And again, she understands that what we need to do. We need to take care of our community, of our campus, of our Commonwealth and the country. And, so we're in fantastic hands with her leadership.
All right. I'm going to give you the ball here and, allow you to write the rules based on these events going forward. What would you like to see happen as it relates to eligibility? What would you like to see happen? I mean, because this is going to be a question a lot of coaches are going to be asked between now and the resumption of normalcy, if you will. Do you have any early thoughts on it?
Sure. So I get to be king for a day? I get to be king for a day here?
Yeah,
as
sure.
All right, I'm king for a day.
As usual, yes. King Lars.
Yeah, as usual, right. Yeah. Us head coaches, we already thought we were.
Yeah,
exactly.
I took the crown off. I took the crown off for the interview. I can't wait to put it back on when we get off air. all spring sports get the year of eligibility back. You know, we've played a few games. You know, the winter sports is a little trickier because a lot of those team seasons were done if you weren't making the NCAA tournament, you know, or your conference tournament. So selfishly for the spring sports because I get to be king, we get the year of eligibility back. And we increase the scholarship allotments and maximums for those spring sports. So, for example, men's lacrosse, 12.6 scholarships is the maximum allowed. Well, if we bring this class back, these seniors get to come back for another. Now we have 5 years of classes in our program. And so, but if we maintain a 12.6 maximum limit, we're asking young people to come back and play for less money. So to avoid that hardship financially, I would have a request to increase the scholarship allotment essentially by 20% because now we have five classes and allow us to move forward that way. Pragmatic, realistic, you know, Steve Pritzker in charge of the finances, Dirk Kaster in charge of the foundation of Virginia Athletics. They're cringing when I say things like that.
Sure.
But if I was king for a day and I could just point to the Treasury and say, disperse some more funds, that's what I would do.
It's just a crazy time, isn't it? I mean, I don't think people in general understand the trickle down of that decision this week.
Right.
Because it's more than just this particular year losing X amount of games or a championship opportunity or whatever. It flows into next year from a recruiting perspective. You mentioned timing is going to be an issue. Money is always an issue. Are you able to recruit anything? I'm not sure if that's going to happen or not. I mean, it's a bizarre time. And I don't think anybody's got any answers, Lars. That's the most frustrating thing, since this thing is so fresh on our minds. So we're just have to play out and see what happens. Work on that yard.
I call it garden leave in the financial world when you have to switch positions for several months. So a lot of us coaches are on these mini sabbaticals or garden leaves, and I got a lot of firewood I can chop down and cut up in my backyard. So I've got some things to do. I've got a 5-year-old. She's gonna run me ragged, and a lot more reading. You know, we do our cultural Thursdays, and I do have a few more books I've got to investigate, which will be next up with our cultural meetings. But and again, I think, as I alluded to earlier, I think that's what hurts the most. You know, if as a coach, like you see Tony Bennett doing, I see many coaches here at Virginia, Steve Garland, our wrestling coach, Bronco Mendenhall with football. It's not just the X's and O's and recruitment. You try to build this team and this collective, and you're creating a mindset, a culture. And to do that, you need time with the men. And to all of a sudden lose the next couple months is a big step back in that and trying to create difference makers and leaders.
Well, we're always appreciative of your time. Thanks, as always, for the visit. And we look forward to seeing you soon.
All right. Thank you, Wes. Thank you, Mark.
All right. Lars Tiffany, the head men's lacrosse coach of the national champion Virginia Cavaliers. It comes to an abrupt end yesterday. For in terms of defending that championship.
It's just, you know, it's sad. I mean, it's the only way to describe it. And you can hear the passion in that guy's voice right there about what it means for his team and whether they're defending champs or not. I mean, this is just a tough, tough time for everybody associated with college athletics.
Packer and Durham.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
It's iconic.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up. Yes!
Unforgettable.
You take it. Three. Put away. It's good. Villanova wins it.
Beyond belief. It's what makes March so great. But now, because of an invisible foe that has yet to be defeated, the NCAA tournament has been canceled.
It's an intelligent decision. I think this has grown to be such a national issue. We don't want to add to this health issue in our country just because this tournament is so important to us.
I do think it was the right decision. The NCAA probably acted quicker than we wanted them to, but it's the right decision.
Curbing the spread of a pandemic that's paralyzed the planet is all that matters right now. But for those who play the game and live the game, reality bites.
The fans who look forward to this every year, coach who's never taken their team to the tournament before and now gets an opportunity taken away from them.
I look at a guy like Cassius Winston and been through so much all year and is finally working his way out of it. But I also know that there's things bigger than basketball.
Michigan State guard Cassius Winston has played this season for his younger brother Zachary, who took his own life in November. How could Cassius have known that when he kissed the floor at Breslin Center 4 days ago, he would be saying goodbye to college basketball?
I feel bad for the seniors on the team more than anything. That's why you play all year long. You know, you play to get an opportunity to play in the NCAA tournament. I feel bad for teams who have qualified for the very first time.
You feel for Sabrina Ionescu, the luminescent queen of the college game. Weeks after losing her idol, mentor, and best friend, now she loses the chance to cut down the nets for Oregon, which is why she stayed in school rather than going pro. And you feel for Dayton, the program that perhaps no one saw coming, led by the player that nobody expected to become the favorite for Men's Player of the Year, Obi Toppin, whose electric dunks and boundless joy made the Flyers a legit championship contender at a school that hasn't reached the Final Four since 1967.
They don't have a chance to live that last moment, whether you're going to win or lose, which will be with them the rest of their life. And that's, for me, the hard thing to swallow. Everybody suffers, but forget about everybody. These kids, that's what makes it sad.
This will be the year without one shining moment. There'll be no Cinderella, no heart-stopping buzzer beaters, only March sadness.
Great stuff from...
Now I'm depressed.
Great stuff from Mark Schwartz, by the way.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah, that's the part that when you sit back and think about next week, and again, next week begets the next week, and then into the spring, and the College World Series for women on the softball side, and the baseball side, and Omaha, and the people in Omaha, and the job. You and I have talked about this. If you're a college sports fan, you've never been to Omaha, you should go.
Oh, that's a must.
And that experience is not there. And so it's very, very disappointing in that light. It's understood, and I thought Dawn Staley said, we get it, but still doesn't take the sting away.
And we're being certainly selfish saying that because we want to be entertained. I mean, that's what sports is all about. And I know the conference tournaments are always special, especially here in the ACC.
Yep.
But next week when the big dance starts, and no disrespect to Dayton, who does a tremendous job with the quote-unquote first round, but that Thursday, the anticipation when you get out of bed for Thursday, mm-hmm. and it's now really – go time. And you know you got games on all day, all night for the next 48 hours. And then, of course, it builds into the weekend. That Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of next week has always been, man, people are just juiced. They're just ready yep. to go. And it doesn't matter what part of the country you're from or who you follow or your favorite team or what you got in your brackets, man. You are just dialed in and ready to go. And, you know, it'll probably hit all of us. It did yesterday in Greensboro, just being there in person, seeing it, it was just like, and again, the surreal is the perfect description of what that is. But next week, Wes, is when I think it'll really hit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm speaking personally now. But that Thursday is just, love that day.
Can't thank Dan Radakovich and Lars Tiffany enough here today.
Yeah, from an AD and a coaching perspective.
I mean, guys on campuses who are, you know, kind of processing this not only for themselves, but also their respective programs and schools. And while we're at it, we didn't get a real chance to do this. I think we owe a note of thanks to Paul Brazzo and John Swofford, Amy Akola, and a lot of the people with the Atlantic Coast Conference who helped us do our program from Greensboro.
And from day one.
From day one, right.
Really, to be honest with you. And our staff back in Bristol.
Yeah.
The real professionals.
Yep. Andrew Brooks, Josh Macri, Chrissy Velez, who's been fantastic as our director.
And principal. Expecting Chrissy.
Well, there you go, breaking news.
Every day.
Yeah.
Oh, it is? It's a secret, huh? Not anymore. That's why this is going to be a hiatus for us.
Yeah, we're going on hiatus.
We're not coming back till Chrissy gives birth.
No, stop that.
No, just kidding. Just kidding.
We
just
don't
kidding.
Know that. We are taking a break because of the impact that coronavirus has had on college athletics and in particular the ACC. So there will be some other things. You're going to potentially see some of our best work and alleged.
When's that happen?
I don't know. We got 141 shows.
No, we did get 141 straight.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah.
But we're going to come up with some creative stuff.
Yeah, we'll have some stuff for you in the next couple of weeks that feature Packer and Durham. And there's always a commercial out there featuring Chester that you might run into from time to time.
Yeah. Our boys at Dish.
Yeah.
You know, we were sponsored by them yesterday. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did.
Did you hear? I mean, we had the real professional voice.
The real guy. That ESPN. That ESPN voice, man. And by the way, during this brief hiatus, there's one thing that has been suggested from someone. I think we've got that up here. We're going to show it to you. But I've also been asked if this also brings to end your 22-year golf hiatus.
Oh, no. See, this is why you didn't see me much at the Coliseum, because I have this other thing called a full-time. I've got two full-time jobs, and it will continue on SiriusXM in the afternoons.
Al Barisi, perhaps. Al, I hope I'm not butchering your name. So next week it'll be the Packer and Durham Book Club or Packer and Durham at the Movies. For me, it's going to be books and binge-watching. I've got two or three things I've been waiting until after the heavy duty part of the season to start watching.
Well, I got to go to work. I mean, nothing changes for me. Nothing.
Afternoons, 4 to 7.
Same, man. Off campus.
Off campus with Mark Packer.
SiriusXM. That's not going to change. Well, we're going to tweak something, though. We're going to have a little secret for everybody next week.
All right. You follow us on social media at Mark Packer, at West Durham, and always on the ACC Network. And don't forget to follow Mark on Instagram because he's so active there.
I still have an account.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
Back
row, Ezzy, all the lensmen, all the producers and directors.
Robert here, Otto.
We'll handle our group. But the real pros up there in Bristol were really fantastic.
Yep.
And it started with Roz, by the way, who's moved on to bigger and better things. Mm-hmm. And Stacey McCullum and the whole crew, Aaron Katzman, awesome.
Yep.
But we'll be back, man. Don't worry about it.
On a little bit of a break, if you will. Thanks to everybody for watching Packer and Durham on ACC Network.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.